Get the work done this summer and book a skip bin with Bingo. Google Bingo Bins today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
It's been fantastic to have your company today on Dwayne's World. Terry Wallace is about to join me in a matter of seconds, but as I've said a number of times, the show's about your calls. Taken plenty today. It's been great that so many people have called today, but you can still call on this hour with Terry and I. We'll take plenty more. 1300 736 736 is the number. 1300 736 736. The open line for Werribee Kia. Top dollar paid for all trade-ins down at Werribee Kia. You can also text in if you like. Rather you call, but that's what Talkback Radio is about. Love it if you call. But if you want to text in, 0433 98 11 16 on the Speckle text. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. One coming through on the Speckle text about the story I was just talking about. ESPN reporting that with Ben Simmons, this isn't a day-to-day injury. And as I said, he's earning $170 million in a five-year deal with the 76ers. If his back's crook, I don't think they'd let him play. And look, to be honest, if his back's sore, he might not want to play either. He didn't want to play for Australia at the World Cup. And there's been a text come through saying there's always going to be something to stop Ben Simmons from playing for the Boomers. Let's be honest, he has no interest in playing for Australia, from Glenn. Yeah, it's an interesting contrast now because Andre Lemanis is not the coach anymore. So Brett Brown is his coach for the Boomers now, but Brett Brown's also his coach for the 76ers. So Brett Brown can't afford to have him out for the 76ers, especially if he keeps his job and he's coach of the 76ers game one of next NBA season. So he's going to have a little bit of a conflict himself maybe to not play Ben Simmons in the Tokyo Olympics because he wants him to be fresh and ready to go for game one of the new NBA season. It's bizarre, and we'll watch this space because Brett Brown now coaches both, if you didn't know, coaches the Australian Boomers and coaches Ben Simmons at the 76ers. Terry Wallace, he loves his basketball. Welcome to you, Terry. Great to have you in.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. That is a conflict of interest. Does that mean that Damien Hardwick this Friday night's just going to play Dusty only for about 10 minutes and pop him into a forward pocket?
I think he's going to actually name Darcy Moore as captain, Damien Hardwick. And he's going to play as many of the players that he might be able to lure to his club in the next couple of years as possible to give them good time. No, I'm only messing around.
We do. Yeah, we do have a lot of conflicts of interest, but that's a big one, isn't it? You know, when you've got your star player in your club environment, when your position is a little bit shaky in that environment, and then, you know, what you do with the national side, geez, that's a tough one.
But a bit could change because Brett Brown might not keep his job at the 76ers. Yeah. And I know it's probably a 1 in 100 chance. They could trade Ben Simmons as well because the Ben Simmons Embiid dynamic just ain't working for them. So if they traded Ben Simmons, then Brett Brown wouldn't care if you used him at the Tokyo Olympics.
If you're a betting man at the moment, you're probably betting that he's not playing.
No,
with the Australian
side. Think
That's the way I'm taking it.
Well, you know, $170 million, five-year deal, and they own him, so they can decide whether he plays or not. That's the bizarre part there. We'll follow that story during the course of the week. But
jumped in here pretty excited today.
You have,
haven't you? Oh, yeah, look, only a couple of days out but before this big game. Go back a couple of weeks ago, and I wasn't sort of, you know, I wasn't feeling it as much, but I just get the sense that Friday night might be a really pretty special night.
Vic V All-Stars, Friday night. We're broadcasting it on SEN. Terry Wallace, can I just remind you what you said last week?
Okay.
Here's Terry Wallace last week on this program talking about how hard these players might go.
This generation of players has grown up watching the NBA All-Star games and knows what that is all about. It's about the best, just coming up against the best and putting on a bit of a display. And that's my sense. I don't mind how it plays out because it's just for a worthy cause and absolutely brilliant. But whether it gets to the intensity levels, the last state game that they played didn't get there at any stage. I mean, I went along to that game and it never, ever reached the heady heights that you were hoping that it got to. And I get the sense that this is going to be a little bit the same. I hope not.
Yeah.
I really hope not. But I think in my heart of hearts that it will be more of a practice game, let's put our skills on display rather than let's put our intensity on display.
So your thoughts in the last week,
well,
Terry?
Normally I stick to my guns, Dwayne, but this time around I'm retracting. I've just got the feeling from everything that I'm hearing, mm-hmm. every time I hear a player speak, every time I hear something about the game, I've just got the feeling that the guys are really serious about, okay, number one, putting on a great show for what is a great cause, mm-hmm. but also to sort of say, hang on, if we're going to wear, and the big V yep. in particular, if we're going to wear this jumper and have all eyes on us, all the history that belongs to it, we're going to do it properly. And I'm hoping now, I'm a retraction, but I'm hoping that that's the way that the boys go about it.
I'm looking forward to that happening if it happens as well, because it would be exciting. We don't want a kick and giggle, and I don't think it would have ever descended to that level. But we see the NBA All-Star Game, and quite often, you know, in All-Star Games around the world in different sports, we see it being a bit of a no defense kind of issue. Although in the NBA game, All-Stars game,
this
they
time.
Played. Yeah, the last quarter they had a crack,
yeah.
well, especially in that last 5 minutes.
Correct. And I think if you go back to some of the statements, it was about Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, so it was from a respect value. And I just get the feeling that the boys in this game are a little bit the same. Hey, we're putting this on for a massive cause. Mm. And, they've dragged back out these magnificent jumpers and an opportunity for us to play in this game. So let's do it properly.
1-300-736-736 is the number. Terry Wallace is in the house, as he will be on a regular basis all season long. 1-300-736-736. Got a caller on the line, Paul, who's been on the line for a while since I was talking about the death of instinct and the reliance on analytics and mathematicians to make decisions in coaches' boxes. Now off the back of Joe Maddon saying that in baseball, they're going to make the analytics and mathematicians sit up the back of the box, and they're going to let the coaches coach on gut feel.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Paul on the road. Welcome to you, Paul.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Dwayne. Hi, Terry. I think it's really interesting to go from AFL to statistics to basketball and now Terry, because the reason why the basketball at the moment is shooting so many three-pointers is because the average is, say, 1.5 points per shot. But Zion Williams comes out, and instead of 0.9 points per inside three-point range, he's shooting at, like, 1.8. So he's starting to change the game because his efficiency inside works just as well, if not better. So statistics are just a reflection of the past. So rather than trying to follow the past, change it by being more efficient in easier shots. Like, it's just a highlight of reflection rather than actually looking ahead.
It's really the whole analytics versus gut feel is fascinating to me, and how it's used and where it's used. So I've always been the fact that during the week, it's analytics because mm-hmm. you've got the time to sort of really sort of space it out.
It's funny you say that, because I played Joe Maddon earlier on and I pulled a piece out of Pardon the Interruption, and he said the same.
Yeah.
He said off-season and during the week, you use analytics to decide on part of your recruiting and your game style process. But in-game, you're about to tell me different?
In-game, I love the gut feel aspect of it and just feeling where it was at and why it was a particular way. And hang on, I know we're rotating this guy at this point in time, but he's on fire. And what's the difference if we leave him out there for an extra 3 minutes? How much difference is that going to? That's gut feel rather than just know his time is 6.2 minutes that he's got to be on the ground. So I like a bit of gut feel, but the players still, and once upon a time, you go in at halftime and you could just, rant and rave is the wrong words, but you could try to inspire the guys. Yeah, come on, we need a little bit more out of you. Nowadays, players, they want to know what's gone right, what's gone wrong, and coach, how do we fix it? And that's analytical. Mm. I mean, you've got to be able to give them something to hang their hats on for them to be able to go back out and sort of say, okay, this is what it says, this is what the information says, and if we do X, Y, and Z, it will turn our direction. And that's the type of analyticals that the players are wanting as much as anyone else.
So do you think we are going to evolve now that we do? I think we do have more superstars in the game right now than maybe, I'm probably wrong. We've always had superstars, but we've got guys like Fife, Dangerfield, Bontempelli, Cripps, Dustin Martin.
Yep.
And I can rattle off 15 more who I would back in to just make the decision on the run, in the go. Once you get the ball, rather than tell them to hold it up and wait and consider your options. Just go when you got it and just play by instinct. And have we got more players that might help us evolve back into the instinct style of game plan than we have for a while? Or do you think we're just letting those players actually have more of an impact now on your game style?
I think you'll find that coaches with their superstars would put an arm around the superstar and sort of say, you play. You know, okay. When you think you need to go, you go.
Yep.
But not give that same right to player number 15. Mm. So that, okay, player number 15, yep. These are your parameters and this is the way we play and this is the way you will play
yes.
under our structure. But, Dusty, yep. if you want to just take them on, take yep. them on.
So Frost takes off from defence. Do you allow Grimes? I mean, because Alex Rance, you know, you probably once upon a time would give a licence to a defender like that. How far back do you go? Because your midfielders have kind of been given a licence a bit like that. But we've been reluctant, I think, in the last couple of years to give defenders that licence.
Yeah, I don't think it goes that deep at all. I think it only goes to the absolute gun star players yep. and not that the coach would ever really, you know, be espousing that to everyone
yeah.
around the place. You know, we play under the same set of rules, but there are rules for some and there are rules for yep. others. That's the way that I really believe that your stars still need to yep. be able to play absolutely on instinct.
One through on the speckled text. Don't forget Pendlebury. Yeah, he's one of the guys that would be in that realm as well. And I think there's a growing list of guys in that realm. That's the beauty of it right now, that maybe instinct is going to make a bit of a comeback.
Well, I saw two guys last weekend that all of a sudden I went, gee, we've waited for these two players for a few seasons. They weren't fit enough when they both arrived yep. into the scene. One is Jay Gresham and the other is Christian Petrarca. Both now look like they're going to join that yep. that elite group.
Yeah.
So I think the group, I think you're right, I think the group is growing and I think we're in a pretty good time of our lives in watching footy to have some yep. real genuine stars. What I saw of Gresham, I thought St Kilda didn't have star factor. And I'm yep. talking about the last half a dozen years.
Yeah.
You know, really since Nick Riewoldt's, you know, career was coming to an end, there was a lack of star factor at St Kilda. I think Hill can be a star for them. And I'm pretty sure Gresham can be a star for them. So all of a sudden, you've got a real star factor starting to grow with the St Kilda Footy Club. And, you know, Melbourne and Petrarca, anyone was out at, that was out at Cranbourne, saw exactly the same thing.
Terry Wallace is with us. 1-300-736-736 is the number, because you played in the instinct era. I mean, there was, and I did too, simple game plans were, you know, if you're kicking against the breeze, you played slow and you kicked wide and wasted time. Hit the boundary, you played with the breeze, you got it in quick and you played a faster pace and you kicked it longer. I mean, simple stuff like that, which, you know, it's become a lot deeper than that these days.
Well, I can tell you when. From 2000, it was almost 2000, the really late 90s.
So where were you in your coaching evolution?
I was Bulldogs. I was Bulldogs. So players, when I was coaching, when I started coaching the Bulldogs, were still playing on instinct.
Yep.
Like, that was an instinct game. So it wasn't that much difference from, you know, the 70s and 80s. Right up until, you know, sort of the mid to late 90s, all of a sudden when the coaches and assistant coaches all went full-time, all of a sudden when they started studying, because they were full-time, they started studying other games and other sports.
Going overseas on reconnaissance missions.
Going overseas, yep. Really analysing and picking apart transitional games.
Which is soccer back in those days,
soccer,
a lot, wasn't it?
Hockey. Yeah. I can remember going to the Sydney Olympics and all the coaches sitting at the hockey stadium just having a look at the way that they, you know, transfer.
To possession, to possession. And the spread.
Correct.
Players spreading, so possession to a spread wide.
More players behind the ball yep. and then, you know, work it forward.
Zones.
But strategically work it forward where you had to sort of almost take the ball sideways before yep. you could work it forwards yep. until your numbers were able.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff was starting to go on. And at exactly the same time, the players went full-time.
Mm.
So that was the huge change, you know, when all of a sudden people then started going, okay, well, we're going to experiment with other things inside the game.
Because there's, I saw it with Gary Ablett Sr., for example. There were times where he could take, on the lead, take the mark out in front 50 metres or 45 metres from goal and go back and have a set shot.
Yeah.
But quite often he would elect not to mark it. He'd flick it to the back and take off behind his man, who was a metre behind him, and run into an open goal from 30 metres out, because that was, he assessed the ball in flight and where his man was. that was the better way to go. There's not too many players now that wouldn't elect to take the mark 45 metres out. They'd take the mark and have the set shot because they have to play the percentages, whereas Gary Ablett played his own percentages, and his own percentage was, I'll mesmerise this guy by flicking it to the back and running into an open goal 30 metres out.
It's amazing talent. I mean, Bruce Steele's another one that stands out for me. Bruce Steele was one of the only players I can ever remember. Most players, when they set flight after a mark, their whole essence at that stage is, there's the ball, I'm going after it. Bruce Steele could actually change his mind in flight between, okay, I'm in the best position here, so this one I'm going to mark, or all of a sudden I can see somebody coming in from the other side and I was going to mark, but now I'm going to change to put a fist on the
and
ball.
And punch it to him so we can take off quickly.
Correct. It's amazing that aspect of the game, how much talent some players have got.
Take a few of your calls. We're going to talk a little bit about head-high tackles and the AFLW and talk about Richmond as well. Plenty on the agenda. We'll take some of your calls and I'll read out a few more of your speckled texts as well. 1-300-736-736 is the number. A couple of scores before the break. Queensland 6 for 115, trailing Victoria by 215 runs at the Gabba. Will Sutherland 4 for 30. And SA 1 for 47, trailing New South Wales by 326 runs, and Tasmania 2 for 57 as it stands right now. I'll just check that score if you can. Aussie Sports Update for Australian Made. Support local. Look for the green and gold Aussie Made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian Made. So that score, Tasmania 2 for 57, trailing WA by 314 runs. That's for Australian Made. Support local, australianmade.com.au. More with Terry Wallace and your calls next.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't spoken to too many people about the intensity of the game and whatnot, but I would have thought there's some pretty competitive guys that will be on the field, and once the ball's bounced, we'll want to get into it. And I think the guys are sort of prepping for round one as well, so it'd be a shame if it wasn't a good preparation game for the players. So I think you'll see a pretty good contest.
Lachie Neale on the program earlier kind of emphasising Terry's point, and that is these players might have a crack on Friday night.
No, I think they're going to. I just think that, as I sort of said, for the right reasons, for the jumper involved, for their own prep, you know, with everything being shorter these days, you know, that's pretty important that you get that side of it right as well.
Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And Bingo Bins. Book a skip bin online this summer with Bingo. Richmond's still the team to beat this year, Terry?
Well, there's one side that seems to be doing most things right. We sort of saw in their practice match the other day that they had 20 premiership players out there and available in the practice game.
Seem to be going along. Going to see them Sunday on... Well, I'm Fox Footy against Collingwood, so I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, I'm going up the Wang. I'm calling the game up there, so heading up the highway. Obviously, we'll have a few of those Friday night boys out of the lineup. But I just think for Tiger supporters, you know, you see the 20 premiership players and everyone sort of says, oh, fantastic, we're going to have them all ready and raring to go. I think you've got to be a bit careful with that. Along the journey for a long period of time, teams who have been able to stay up for a long while, and I was a part of one of those at Hawthorn back in the 1980s, they've been brave enough to change up the premiership team and allow other younger players to come into the lineup at times. And I just sort of started looking at Richmond and went, are they going to be in a better position in 18 months if they just roll out the same 20 premiership players again this time around? Or do they have to have a little bit of a... We're playing for now and we're playing absolutely for another opportunity for a premiership. But you know, maybe we might be just as good off if we open that up to some more young, hungry players.
So you think they've got some guys on their list that might actually knock a few of the old premiership players out of the team by halfway?
Well, I think they've got the potential to. And I think if you don't grow like that, I mean, it's a couple of things. We saw it in the Australian cricket team at one stage where like they were so good, no one could take anyone's
spot.
Harder
to get out than it was to get in.
Correct. And they come through all together, but then once they started to get to retirement age, you just fall off a cliff. And you know, you haven't got the next group ready to go. Well, I think the smart operators will actually make sure and sort of say, hang on, no, we're not going to do it that way. And I've put a list together.
Okay.
Elliot Ness had his group of untouchables. I think Damien Hardwick has got 11 untouchable Richmond players who just play.
Every game.
They play.
Regardless if they drop form a little, they stay in the team because they're the guns.
They're the guns.
Okay.
They're playing every week. But I would open up the last 11 spots and just sort of say, well, hang on. You know, the rest is up there for opportunity. Because how do we know whether a Collier Dawkins or a Noah Bolter is not going to be a better player in 12 months than the bloke who won the premiership for them last season?
1-300-736-736. 1-300-736-736. So you've got to give me your list of untouchables now, or do you want to take some calls and take some news?
Well, I'll bang out the untouchables very quickly before we go to the news.
Right.
And then what I want is I want people to sort of tell me, have I got the right ones, or did I leave somebody out that shouldn't be there?
Okay.
In alphabetical order, Asprey, Cochin, Edwards, Grimes, Hooley, Lambert, Lynch, Martin, Prestia, Riewoldt, Vlosten. That is the untouchables.
1-300-736-736. So who are the young guys that are going to knock a few of the premiership players out of their spot? And who do you think should be added to Terry's list of untouchables if you've got one? You're Dwayne's World. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. Terry Wallace is with me, as he will be on a regular basis right throughout the season. And we're taking your calls. We're talking Richmond at the moment. Trout in Wood End wants to talk to Tigers. Welcome to you, Trout.
Hello, Tiger boys. One for Terry and one for Dwayne.
Yep.
Look, I'm not sure. I missed a couple of those Richmond guys, but I would certainly have Lambert, Caddy, and I would personally put Stack in those top 11. It's very hard to push players out, but if you're going to go by age and youth and that, because there's still so many young ones to come through. Baker, Charles, Stack, Ross, Higgins, Soldo, Bolter, you know, Pickett, Bolton, it just goes on. So, but it's very, very tough to do. I sat there and I couldn't do it, Terry, so well done.
Well,
Dwayne.
I had Lambert in there, Trout, but I didn't have Caddy in there. So he was the one that I didn't have. So.
Interestingly enough, I've been talking about analytics and champion data, and you know, I found it strange in a way that champion data said that North Melbourne's list was the sixth best list in the AFL. And they had Magic Door listed amongst their elite players for North Melbourne. They had Todd Goldstein, Ben Cunnington and Magic Door. But it's based that analytics on the last two seasons roughly. And there's us other parameters coming into play. But they also had Sydney Stack amongst the elite for Richmond's players as well. So I think the Sydney Stack season that he put together last year, when you break it down game by game, I think you're right. We don't know where his upside's going to end. There's kind of no ceiling with him right now. So I'm with you on that, Trout. What else have you got for me?
Now, Dwayne, I'm not one for bragging or banging my own drum on the radio station, but veterans over 50s cricket state champion now. Macedon Rangers defeated Mont Albert on the weekend. I'd encourage all listeners out there that are over 50s or over 60s, there's some great competition in Victorian cricket to get active amongst your clubs and all that sort of stuff. Enjoy it. It's a great way of sport and keeping fit and meeting new people. Just go out and do it, guys. Get active and be healthy.
How many did you make, Trout, or how many wickets did you take?
Well, the way I bat, they always select me as a non-batter, but I'm not one for bragging, but 135 Ks left arm heat, 2 for 18 off 5, 2 run-outs and a catch in the field.
I knew you would have done well, Trout. Good plug for yourself, but love your calling. You can call any time, 1-300-736-736. Robert in Thornbury, welcome to you, Robert.
G'day, gentlemen. Massive Tiger. I think one you missed out on there, Terry. I think Shorty, Jaden Short. Not Short. Jeez, what's his name? I completely muffed this up.
Jaden Short, off halfback.
Off halfback.
Yeah,
he's a very important player.
Jaden Short.
Right now.
Jaden Short with his kicking ability. It was interesting because in the break I sort of said I'm a huge fan of Jaden Short. He was the one that I left out of my list that I would have loved to get in my list. And I think he's 12 months away from becoming an untouchable. And probably with Basher, with his age at the moment, that I would sort of say they would probably swap over in 12 months.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I just thought even in 2017, he was pretty unlucky to miss out on that grand final side. So, and yeah, Sydney stack, and there's a whole bunch of them coming through the ranks. So, yeah, but interesting to see how we'll be placed in 12 months.
Look, it's a fascinating time. I mean, obviously, the VFL side won the premiership as well, so they've got some really good youngsters there. They can't stifle their ability to actually be able to grow as well. So, as I said, that's the way that I would be. I'd be sort of, and I wouldn't be doing it externally. I'd be doing it internally and just sort of saying, look, we're going to play these blokes all the time, but the rest, let them work themselves out.
Take a few more of your calls after a break. 1-300-736-736. There's a few coming through on the speckled text. Untouchables of the Hawks. Sicily, Gunston, Smith, Warple, Shields, Lewis, Mitchell Lewis, Tom Mitchell, Jager O'Meara, High Plough, which ruck combo for the Tigers? Nankers, Gervis, Soldo, Chole?
Well, for me, I've always been... Nankervis is the number one man, but he's not quite ready at the moment. So Soldo, to me, looks like he's up and running at the moment. But, look, they got away with playing the two of them, and it worked fairly well for them.
Hi, Dwayne and Plough. This is on the speckled text as well. I would have Jaden Short as an outside smoky of the Untouchables as well. Someone reading your mind there. Thanks for your text. 1-300-736-736. Brad in Pakenham. Welcome to you, Brad.
Dwayne, Plough, how you going?
Good, Brad.
I would have the fridge, Jack Graham, in there, especially after some of the games in the back half of the year, especially the prelim, the way he battles through. Just a tough inside player and very important to our midfield.
Look, there's no doubt, like, from a point of view of a physicality and what he puts to the contest, there's no doubting that that's the case. Is he in your best side? Yeah, I think he's in your best side, no doubt. But as I sort of said, I really went with almost the tried and true, the ones that have been there for a long time. Jack Graham, with the physicality, he'd work his way into the side more often than not anyway.
Head-high tackles and the... 2-week suspension for Marley Williams on the agenda next with Terry. Stick around, you're with Dwayne's Watt.
If we're serious about stamping this out, you've got to change behaviour. Now, today, Marley Williams, and you'll go through the table on what he can possibly get, it's not enough. It's not enough to change behaviour. If it's 1 or 2 weeks, it's just an, oh yeah, that's okay, we'll get him back in a couple of weeks. There's no change. I thought we were going to take this seriously. I thought 3 to 4 years ago, with the AFL made the decision, that's it, the head is sacrosanct. That was a word they kept using. Well, I don't know if it is. Do you feel that it is? You give him 5 weeks, Jared, and I can guarantee you know what the Kangaroos are doing again. We're playing with people's post-football lives here, Jared.
David King, earlier in the week, Terry Wallace is with me discussing all things footy. What are your thoughts on that, Plough?
With the sentiment, I agree wholeheartedly. I couldn't see that you would be able to just go one instance and go, from this instance, we're going to hit it hard. I would have thought you'd have to come out. If the AFL come out before round one and said exactly what Kingy said then, I think the sentiment is absolutely right that we need to get harder on the head tackles because of what we now know are the concussion issues and ongoing concussion issues that so many of our players have got. I put that up because I've got another little issue with it as well. I've been watching all the AFLW games and I enjoy it. I know something not everyone does and that's fine, but I really enjoy watching the girls go about it. They're desperate to show their physicality and they're absolutely desperate to show that we're all in, we're all committed. But their technique approaching the ball from front on is not there yet. And I'm just worried about the neck, head and concussion in the women's game, equally as what I am worried about it in the men's game, because I just think that there's a technical issue with them. I see the girls playing and being decked front on so regularly. I mean, it's happening on regular times in each game. So, I mean, we see Amali Williams and we're all up in arms, yet it's happening 3 or 4 times a game in the AFLW. So, it's just something we've got to keep an eye on as well. If we're keeping an eye on trying to look after the men's aspect of the game, we've got to be keeping a real vigilant eye on the women's, because that is, to me, it's more of a problem in the women's.
So if you were coaching 10-year-old kids, boys or girls, or if you were advising the AFL, would you coach the kids to turn sideways at the moment of collection of the ball? Because we see a lot of players just dive in head first these days. Well, not dive, but keep their feet, put their head down. Whereas, you know, when I was young, I was told to turn your backside into the oncoming traffic.
Correct.
But now if you turn your backside into the oncoming traffic, you do run the risk of bumping someone head high. But as I've said a number of times on this program and others, I think your default is if you're going for the ball, you should have that allowance. If your intent is to pick up the ball as you turn your body, as opposed to, I want to bump this guy on the head or this girl on the head, then to me, that's the delineation. Where do you see all that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, first up, you asked me the question of would I? I think it's one of the most critical parts of coaching at a younger age and at the junior levels is to get them to understand, male or female, get them to understand how to use their bodies correctly to protect themselves, number one, but also to make sure that they're not doing damage to the opposition. And that's something that just must be taught at the junior levels to make sure that the injury levels don't get out of control.
So, in essence, you're coaching them to pick up the ball side on.
Correct. Correct.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, we're kind of, at the moment, if you turn your body, you do run the risk of bumping someone else in the head and then you run the risk of missing weeks.
Well, at the moment, the girls are basically just running straight over.
Head in, head first.
Straight over the top of them. So.
Dennis on the road. Welcome to you, Dennis.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Just on that, I reckon it's a split-second decision, so it depends on the person's character. Anyway, I want the state of origin, but I want to sort of go into it in terms of whether we're going to get back to South Australia versus Victoria, all that sort of stuff. And I put in a recommendation to the AFL late last year with two options. One was that any team that finished out of the eight at the end of the year, all the players that are available in all those ten teams, they represent the state. And the other option is the same thing, but any player that's on a list for any of the teams that are actually in the eight playing in the finals that won't play finals can also play. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on those two options.
Dennis, not for me, and you know, we all sort of see it differently, but why not for me is because it's an inferior product to having the best of the best. So you're saying,
so if you played the week before the grand final with everyone that's not playing the grand final available, then you're robbing the best 40 players in the competition, roughly,
correct,
of an opportunity to wear your jumper.
And he was sort of saying that week before the final started, so you'd have eight teams not there and 10 teams available.
So it erodes what the Big V or the South Australian jumper is all about, and that is the best of the best.
And that's my issue. So therefore, you've got guys getting jumpers, and this is when the Iris series was there at time. It started to get Mickey Mouse before the real senior players sort of said, yes, we'll support it. You don't want to have secondary players, Blake, who shouldn't be earning that jumper, in that jumper.
So do you think, and Eddie said this on my program yesterday, do you think having a carnival every 3 or 4 years at the start of the season, like we're getting with this State of Origin game or this Australia, this Vic V All-Star game, at the start of the season, so a carnival once every 3 or 4 years and you play it pre-season and all the best players hopefully will put their hand up because they only get the opportunity to wear the V or the SA jumper once
maybe,
every 4 years.
Maybe 3 times,
and you have maybe 4 teams. So you have Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia, and an All-Stars or Allies concept where Tasmania, ACT, New South Wales, Queensland and Northern Territory all combine.
I think that could potentially work. But my only issue with it is if you were trying to fit it in at any other time, I can't see how it's where it slots in and how it's going to work and players making themselves available. But if it becomes part of their preparation for them to get themselves into the best nick that they possibly can for round one, I think you might get a better buy-in.
Yeah, hopefully no one gets injured or reported and suspended in Friday night's game. That's going to be, I mean, the repercussions of the Tony Hall type repercussion,
correct,
then that becomes a big parameter for every player.
Josh Fraser in the last one. Yep.
Terry Wallace with us. A couple coming through on the speckled text as well regarding your Richmond thoughts. Terry, one here. Shane Edwards, definitely a starter. Mikos on the road. Was he in your untouchables?
Shane Edwards was in the untouchable 11. Yes.
Prestia, is he in the untouchables as the best and fairest winner in a premiership side? He should be there.
Absolutely. He was there. So he's in the top 11, 100%.
And another coming through on the speckled text. Just announced Port Adelaide have revealed that MG, the major sponsor of the NBL, MG Motor Group, is joint major sponsor. How big is that for Port Adelaide to Renz? It's a big announcement. We've been hoping for Keith Thomas on this program for, I was going to say a week, let's say three. But unfortunately, they've been a bit quiet at Port Adelaide, but that's probably something that the Victorian people listening to this program think is a win. So we'll take a break. More of Terry Wallace after the break. You're with Dwayne's World.
He hit 16. Listen to the crowd.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! Lambert with a setup kick for Riebold! This is it! Yeah.
Seen anything like that?
Fontapelli, the future star, the present star, steady.
Oh! I'd get slaughtered on the speckled text if I didn't keep time for your footy golf, Terry. Footy golf from the AFLW round.
Yeah, we'll be back to the men shortly, but we'll go back to the Friday night game. St Kilda, our first albatross of the season. Well done, the Saints.
Nice.
Brilliant effort to be able to get over Melbourne, who were a double bogey. Every year, Melbourne seemed to stuff up one game in the women's footy. Bulldogs are double bogey. They've lost two really important games at home in a row. A birdie for Carlton. Gold Coast, a par, even in a draw. Brisbane, a bogey, because my expectation was that Brisbane with a better side, so that's the way that played out. Par-par for Collingwood and Fremantle. I thought they were both very good. GWS, a birdie. West Coast, a double bogey. A triple bogey for the Tigers. Second quarter just allowed the scoreboard to impact the way that they went about playing the game. North Melbourne, an eagle because of a 56-point victory. A par for the Geelong girls. I thought they were solid. And a birdie for the Adelaide football team. So that has a leaderboard of minus four Collingwood, or four under Collingwood, three under Fremantle, two under Brisbane, Carlton, St Kilda and North, one under the Gold Coast, evens Melbourne, GWS and Adelaide, one over Geelong, three over the Bulldogs, who have dropped off the last two, and five over both Richmond and the West Coast Eagles.
Terry Wallace's footy golf ladder, the leaderboard as it is. Dean and Harvey Bay, before we say farewell and hand over to Bob and Andy.
Boys, how are we?
Good, thanks.
Good, dude.
Oh, mate, I know I'm tall and pressed. It's one of those ones you probably need a beer at a pub to go through it, but I reckon this State of Origin idea, you guys are bang on about it. What killed State of Origin? I'm a 40-year-old footy lover. And what killed State of Origin was the Allies. There needs to be representation from each state. You can't have that Allies. So maybe what we could do is Vic, WA, South Australia, Tasmania, the standalone side, combine the territories with their closest state, Queensland and Northern Territory, New South Wales and ACT, play a carnival every year, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, this weekend, every year. And basically the winner stays on in the bottom game, and you seed them based on all Australian representation for the last couple of years. It'd be good to know if Jack Riewoldt would rather play on this Mickey Mouse All-Stars team or leader team of the absolute cream of the crop from Tasmania and potentially get a big win over Western Australia, South Australia.
Thanks for your call, Dean. Before you go, Terry, your thoughts?
I played in a side, Victorian side, that lost to Tasmania. look, from a passion meter, I agree totally with Dean, but again, you're scaling down the level of the competition.